Jesus is the Savior. I got to go tell some people. You are forgiven. You are loved. You have a future and a hope according to Jeremiah 29:11. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are holy because of Him. Worship will create the atmosphere for miracles.
Hello and welcome to the Emerald Destiny Center Sermon Podcast.
Sometimes the fire of God scares people, but I want to tell you tonight that the fire of God is what puts you forward. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses you, obviously. But tonight I'm going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to go through that whole chapter. But I just want to kind of exhort you for a second and tell you that you're coming here tonight. It can be coincidence or purpose, it's up to you. But I'm telling you, we have the opportunity to go to another level on purpose. Not by accident, not by pretense, but to come before God and say, Lord, I lay down everything from the past week. I lay down everything from the past few years. I lay down everything that's tried to hinder me. I lay down everything that's tried to distract me. Lord, you see all the elements that have tried to hold me back. I say, I acknowledge those things, but I acknowledge you above those things.
Amen.
And I say that by the Spirit of God on the inside of me, I'm going to go to another level because He is risen and because He's given me the power to do so. We were not called to live in past pretense or negativity. We were called to live life victoriously in the anointing. And so tonight, we're just going to go through Colossians 1. This is really a prayer that Paul prays over the church in Colossae. So really, as I'm reading, I'm really praying over you. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. I'm reading in the King James, by the way. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which we have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bring forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Notice that's past tense. I'm going to say that again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Somebody say, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Oh, glory to God. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. Did that say in your spirit? Okay then. Enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, to present you holy and unblameable. Oh, glory to God, we're unblameable. I like that. And unblameable in his sight. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affections of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the ministry which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this majesty among the Gentiles, who is Christ, or which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What did he say last week? Oh, talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Glory to God. Oh, I've been reading this for the past few days. And you know what that basically says to me? I'm already redeemed. I ain't waiting for heaven to be redeemed. My mind's waiting for heaven to be redeemed, but my spirit's already there. Oh, glory. That just goes off in me. What I want to tell anybody who's been going through something this week, that's probably all of us, but some of us more than others, is you are not only set free, you are forgiven, you are loved, you have a future and a hope according to Jeremiah 29:11. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are holy because of Him. You are not holy because of something that you try to fix that you did last week. Because I'm going to tell you, I spent a lot of time trying to fix things that I had done wrong. But what happened was the more I tried to fix stuff, the more stuff I just messed up along the way. And finally I had to just go, okay, Jesus, I can't do this. There came a point where I had to realize I needed Him. There came a point where you have to realize you need Him. And don't wait until the brink of disaster. Don't wait until the brink of desperation to call on Him. Because what does that do? It shows little bitty faith if you wait till desperation to call on Him. It shows Him that you really don't care that much. You just want Him to fix it so that you can continue living that way. Why wait till a moment of desperation before you call on Him? That's not relationship, guys. That's just simply calling on somebody to save you from the junk you started. Glory to God. I didn't even mean to say that, but hallelujah. I'm talking to me too. Don't wait until the brink of disaster to pray. What kind of relationship is that? Don't wait until the brink of disaster or the brink of physical exhaustion to get something going in the Spirit. How do I get something going in the Spirit? Simple, talk to Him. He's the Father of spirits. Well, who are the spirits? You. Do you realize you are a spirit more than you're a human being? Does that make sense to anybody? You are a spirit more than you're a human. You're both because God put you in a physical body. But what I mean by you're more a spirit is because once you accept Christ, Jesus is spirit. And so once you're in Him and He's in you, you become more spirit than you are flesh. But the only way your flesh can die and stay crucified is to spend time with a Savior who was crucified for you. There is no redemption outside of Him. There is no salvation outside of Jesus. There is no hope outside of Christ. There is no blessing. There is no healing. There is nothing. Your mind will go nuts outside of Christ. Mine did for years. I don't know how I stayed sane through all the junk that went on. I didn't have the worst childhood, but I didn't have the best one. And so I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter how you grew up. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter what they neglected you from. It doesn't matter who you hurt along the way. All that matters is where you are today, right now. Because you can't, you want to know why it doesn't matter? Because you can't push rewind. That's the basic point. You cannot push rewind on life. And you for sure don't want to push fast forward. But what you do want to do is make sure you start the... When does forever start? It starts right now. It starts right now. It starts right now. Every single second, you have another chance to acknowledge Him, to begin to worship Him and say, God, I don't care what comes against me. I don't care what distractions come against me. I don't care who tries to tell me that I am not righteous because of the things I've done. I don't care what I mess up. I don't care what comes out of my mouth that wouldn't glorify You, because the blood of Jesus is what sets me free. It's not me trying to do something to gain righteousness. It's me submitting to You. It's me coming full force into Your presence and submitting to what You've done and receiving who You are so that I can walk in who I am in You. Glory to God. This is just coming out tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus is not just a risen Savior. He is a risen Lord. The word Lord means boss. None of us like that. I don't like the word boss, to be honest with you. I have a major issue sometimes submitting to authority. Is that anybody else in here? And that's just me being real.
Generations.
But the Lord is very serious when it comes to submitting to authority. I used to hate the cops. Hate them. Mm-mm. But it was because why? I was breaking the law. Makes sense, doesn't it? You break the law, the cops come. That's just what happens. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, where you go. You break the law, the cops are coming. Well, here's the thing. God has a law. You are not in relationship with Christ through the law. That is Old Testament junk that you need to get out of your head. I'm not saying the Old Testament doesn't apply to us today, but what I'm telling you is, if the Old Testament was what it was, Moses would have been the Savior. Come on now, I'm just saying. Quit looking to the things of Moses to judge whether or not you're in right relationship with who Jesus is. Because Jesus and Moses are two different men. And I'm pretty sure Jesus the Christ is the Christ, is the Messiah. So live your life according to what He has done, and it will make all those desires to do fleshly things dissipate. I'm telling you right now, He will change your desires. Just like Paul. Why do we not see a wrestling match when it comes to what Paul did? He was going one day to kill Christians, but what happened? He got the glory of God hit him, knocked him off a horse. And all of a sudden, there was no wrestling match between him and God. God, the glory of God hit him, knocked him off a horse, and all of a sudden he just knew he had a new destiny. He just knew, man, I didn't know this before, but now I do. Jesus is the Savior. I got to go tell some people. The same thing should happen every time you get with the Lord. Why is it we don't see more believers who get the fire of God on the inside of them? They go, oh my goodness, I've got to tell somebody. I don't know about you, but whenever I began to get Christ real on the inside of me, I had to tell a few people. I had to start going, dude, I don't know how to explain this to you, but you got to meet this Jesus. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus set me free. Jesus cleansed me of whatever. Jesus set me free from alcohol. He set me free from drugs. He set me free from, I was about to kill myself, bro. And you got to understand that Jesus came to me. In my moment of breaking, He came to me. I saw Him. I felt Him. I heard Him. Bro, you got to understand, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what a new believer should sound like. Why don't we hear more of that? Because new believers, most of the time, are so busy thinking about what they did that they don't really receive what they just got. And here's the thing. Jesus, I don't care what you've done in this room, Jesus isn't even thinking about it. If He was thinking about it, I wouldn't serve Him. Sorry. That's a bold statement, but I'm going to say it. If He was thinking about it, I would call Him a liar according to His word. I'd quit serving Him today. Because the truth of the matter is, I wake up on a daily basis with a Christ consciousness because of Him. It's not because I'm that awesome. It's not because I've studied the Bible that long. It's not because I've graduated Bible school or done anything awesome. It's because of Him that I can stay Christ conscious. It's because of Him that I can think on Him. It's because of Him that I can come boldly. The Word of God says come boldly into the presence of God. It doesn't say come like this. Lord, I'm real sorry for what I've done. And I hope You can forgive me this time. You know what? We approach people like that because we don't believe that they love us. Anybody that you don't believe loves you and has your best interest in mind, you're going to go up to them just like that. If you've disappointed them in the past, you're going to approach them in disappointment. Well, I hope you can forgive me. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. Jesus' blood offered not more than just healing. He offered forgiveness. And He doesn't forgive you according to 5 minutes, 10 minute increments. He has forgiven you for all eternity. So every time you backslide or do something that you know is wrong, He's not going, really? Seriously? I just shed my blood and you're going to do that again? Come on now. God is love. Yes, He is a God of wrath. Yes, He is a God of judgment. But more than that, the Bible says, when it comes to saying God is something, the Bible says He is love. So you got to quit beating yourself up because He ain't beating you up. What He's doing is this. Oh, honey, I really wish you would stop doing this because you're going against my will for your life. But I love you. I want you to know I love you. I sent my Son to die for you. I sent Jesus so you wouldn't have to live in this junk anymore. I wish you would get that picture. That's what God is saying to you tonight. He wishes you would just get the picture of His love for you, because then you would be set free. It's not by a preacher you get set free. It's not by someone laying hands on you that you get set free. If that's the mode that He uses, praise God. But if it's not, it's through the blood of Jesus that you are set free. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of someone that you are set free. And the Holy Ghost can touch you whether or not someone lays hands on you. The Holy Spirit can minister to you whether or not someone is talking or not. He uses ministers to get His points across, but He don't need us. Glory to God. He can talk through a donkey. Yeah. See? Proved it, didn't I? Just don't be calling me no J words, all right? We're good. We're good. I'm gonna share a couple of things with you that I wrote down that the Lord just spoke to me. Redemption is only in Christ. I've basically been preaching on that for 10 minutes. But staying God conscious is how to live above the temptation to worry. Anybody in here who've been wondering, how do I stay above worry? How do I stop that? Let me tell you something. Worry's always coming at you. It's just the world we live in. It's a down spiral. It's just where we are. Worry is everywhere around you. It doesn't mean you have to live in it. It means you have to live around it. Come on now. You have to live around it. It's just the process of life. But here's the difference. If it's not possible, how did Jesus do it? I'm just saying. People tell me it's impossible to not worry. Really? So what? How did Jesus do it? By staying on His face before God. I'm telling you, there were times where His flesh was weak, yes. But it never says that He gave in. It never says that He gave in to the temptation to worry. The Bible says worry is sin. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the quickest ways to get rid of it is get that word out of your vocabulary. I never say the word. If I say something, I say, man, I've been so tempted to be concerned lately. I don't even let the word worry come out of my mouth except for right then. But the point is, worry and worship can't live in the same heart. So you got to make a choice. It comes down to a choice. It's like one of the John Wayne stands down. Are you feeling lucky, punk? You know, you got to do that with Satan sometimes. You got to look him down and you got to go, No. Because you don't understand. The blood's been shed. I'm set free. I'm not going back to that junk. You can have it if you want to. And then he goes, oh, well, the whole world's going to cave in on you. Oh, the end times are coming. You better be prepared. I agree. But you shouldn't live in worry over it. Unless you're not saved, then I would probably get to, you know, being concerned a little bit. You can laugh. Anyway, we were never called to live in worry. We were called to live in worship. Mm-hmm. You want proof? Jesus. The Bible says when the Son of Man is lifted up, what happens? The Holy Spirit is able to work. Sometimes we release the Holy Spirit to do stuff and we ain't been worshiping. It don't work that way, sorry. How can you ask Him to work on something you ain't been worshiping? Come on, just saying. Yeah, that's what I call a God of commission. He ain't a God of commission. You don't commission Him when you ain't been worshiping. You can't expect him to be ready at the drop of a hat to do something for you if you ain't worshiping. Yeah, you might be his child, but he requires, he craves. Get that? He craves worship. And so I've seen so many times people who you know, they worship God. Honestly, things come against them, but they never ever affect them. I'll give you a big example. A minister that I know of, very anointed minister. His daughter, I was there when his daughter was born, but she was about 3 years old and she got croup in her throat. And for anybody who knows what croup is, that'll pretty much strangle a child. And, you know, him being a minister, he's like, I ain't putting up with that junk. I'm taking authority over this and I'm going to worship through it. He said, I was so tempted to worry because it seemed to get worse progressively. He said, but I refused. I continued to worship and I continued to thank God for her healing. She's 6 years old today. And so what I'm saying is temptation to worry is going to come. I'm just going to prepare you for that. But you have a choice. If you choose to hook up with the worry, you better expect disaster to happen unless God sovereignly intervenes. But if you choose to say no, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to worship God, I'm going to acknowledge Him, and I'm going to thank Him for the victory. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. I'm pretty sure when David approached Goliath, that it didn't look like he had a chance. Anybody in here facing some Goliaths? It didn't look like he had a chance, but what did he do? He goes, I'm going to rip his head off and feed it to him. In the name of Jesus. How do you feed somebody's head to him? I don't know. But you get the point. Anyway. Christ is the anointing. He lives in you. Therefore, you have the opportunity to live 24/7 in the anointing. Anybody ever thought about that? Well, you can't live anointed all the time. Really? You're going to go there with me. You can't live anointed all the time, then why is it that Jesus rose? Why is it that He left us the Holy Spirit? We are the Jesus in this earth now. We are the Son of God to the people in this earth now because He lives in us. We have to witness and we have to... Who are we witnessing to? Not just to, but in order to get the will of God done, not just in your life, but in this earth, it is all about leading someone else to Jesus, but more than that, teaching them how to walk in worship. Because unless someone knows how to walk in worship, they're going to struggle their whole Christian walk. They're going to have that beat down negative attitude, and they're never going to be able to get anything done in the Spirit. Yeah, they're saved, but they ain't getting nothing done in the Spirit. I've seen it over and over and over. People living without power because all they know is salvation. That's it. And I'm not saying that that's bad. What I'm saying is don't limit God to just salvation. Don't limit God to just the idea of, well, you get saved and then you just got to wait to go to heaven. I lived that for a long time because I was raised Baptist. I'm not coming against them, but I'm just saying that's mostly what they teach. And until I was educated further, I'll say, I lived a very beat down, you know, negative Christian life. But whenever God began to show me these things in the Word, which started in Bible school for me, but the more He began to show me in His Word who He is and what He designed, I began to see, no matter what the denomination is, God isn't about denomination. He's about kingdom. God is not, I'm going to say this boldly, God is not about church growth. He's about family growth. He's about kingdom expansion. I don't care how big the church is or isn't. I could care less. I want to see people in unity going for one thing, Jesus. If I could... You show me a place where everybody in that place, whether it's a church building or a coliseum or a living room, if everybody in that place is going for one person and that's Jesus, we can do revival, man. We can do revival on that. Where how many are gathered? 20 or more? 3 or more? 2 or more? One of those numbers? I'm not a mathematician, bro. But what I'm saying is we make it too hard, guys. Quit making it so hard. It's not about theology. It is not about doctrine. It's about Jesus. That's all it's about. And if you take your eyes off of Him, I guarantee you, within 5 minutes, you're going to be in a bad, cranky attitude. Your whole life is going to look like doom and gloom. And you're going to probably mess something up. Chances are pretty high when you take your eyes off Him. Well, how do I keep my eyes on Him? Acknowledge Him. Guys, it's not something you're ever going to come into. It's not something you have to have a perfect performance with. Understand, you live in grace. Grace is who He is. It's not something He has. Grace is who He is. By His grace, you are able to walk in the anointing every day, every second. There's no fluctuation. There's no, well, I did this last night, so I don't think. No, get that out of your stinking head. I'm tempted to slap that thought out of your head. Because I can't stand it when that gets preached. I cannot stand it. I believe that God judges sin, yes. But I also believe in that, because He says in His Word that grace does more abound. Where sin abounds, grace does more abound. And so, what God is basically saying is, yeah, you sinned and you fell short of the glory of God, but My Son's blood covered it. Anybody had a blood bath lately? Sounds funny, don't it? And I'm going to tell you this. Start pleading the blood of Jesus over everything. What does that mean? I plead the blood of Jesus over my house. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my bank account. I say that stuff every day. It's not something I come to you and preach and then walk away and... No, I say that stuff every day. Why? Because I want my whole life to magnify Him. Because if I can get my whole life to come into alignment with His Word, which is a life process, I promise you, it's not going to happen for anybody overnight. Once, if I can get my whole life to get into balance, to where it magnifies what He says in His Word as His will for my life, people will begin to notice and go, man, dude, your life looks so much different. What's up? And the saddest thing is, how many people get recognition when they win the lottery? All of a sudden, the lottery gets worshipped. All of a sudden, they go to Vegas and they win something. Or they go to New York and they get accepted to a modeling agency. Well, what gets the worship? Man, your life is so different. You got this big house now. But I'm going to tell you, God's glory looks so much different. You ever see, I know a lot of people have a problem with this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Big name ministers that have, you know, nice stuff and God's blessed them. I praise God for that. I love to see it, personally. Because it shows me that they're doing something right. Shows me that they, you know, are actually tapping into the Word of God. Whether they're, you know, integrity or not, that's not up to me to judge. But what I'm saying is, the gospel is what allows us to align our lives up with the Word of God in every single area. In our health, in our finances, in our families, in our marriages, whatever it is. And when those things get in line with His Word, it has no choice but to increase. I'm telling you. It has no choice but to multiply and be blessed. Because if it doesn't, then it's not of God. That's the bottom line. You test something against the Word of God today, and what happens to it? It increases. It multiplies. God blesses it. You ever seen somebody, you ever seen a farmer plant a seed that he didn't, you know, his intention is for that thing to grow. It's not for it to sit there for decades on end and he just, well, I hope it happens someday. Really? Come on now. Get some faith after that thing and know. In Jesus' name, I command that seed to grow. Not just because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. Period. You should not accept anything in your life that is not the will of God. If it's not the will of God, you need to be confronting that thing. No, this is the way God said it can be. I command it to happen. But you don't worship the miracle. I'm going to tell you that. I said that last week, but you don't worship the miracle. You worship the miracle maker. But the bottom line of it is, when everything in your life begins to line up to the will of God, people can begin to notice, and that's when your witness gets taken to another level. And you go, hey, I promise you it's not because of me. I got to tell you who did this. I got to tell you how this happened. I worship God. Jesus is my Lord. And the thing you got to be careful with is when that starts to happen in your life, people see the attraction, the what's the word I'm looking for? The enticing idea of increase, which is not a bad thing, but if you have false motives, it can tear you apart. They see the increase and they all of a sudden want to worship God. Well, I'm going to tell you, don't wait to see the increase before you worship God. And don't worship God just because of increase. Worship God for who He is. That's how you stay out of a ditch with the prosperity gospel. A lot of people have a problem with that. I don't. Because if you see it in line with the Word of God the way He intended it, then it's going to be okay. He'll bless it. Do not ever worship wealth. Do not ever worship increase. You worship Him. As you worship Him, the Bible said, John said in one of the Gospels that He must increase, but I must decrease. That doesn't mean that he was asking God to make him poor. That means that he was asking God, Lord, humble me. I humble myself before you. I am nothing without you. And until you realize you're nothing without him, you can't truly begin to grow in him. You can't truly begin to see that progress. But the more you stay conscious, it's a real fine line. Stay God conscious, but keep yourself humbled. Because anytime increase comes, it's real tempting to get cocky. It's real tempting to get prideful. It's real tempting. Oh yeah, look at me. I'm somebody. Yeah, I worship God, but He did this because I worship Him. No, He didn't. He did that because of who He is. He don't do nothing because you worship Him. He does it because He loves you. It's a real fine line. I have no idea why some of us think that we can worship ourselves out of a situation when we don't worship anyway. We should worship anyway. What happened to Paul? He worshiped God while he was hanging upside down in the middle of that. I think most of us would agree that he lived a very blessed life. Yeah, it was persecution all over the place, but he said he was still blessed. He said the joy of the Lord was his strength. In prison, he sang. I don't know about the only person I can imagine doing that. It was like a famous singer, but I was like, okay, whatever. I guess I was the only one who thought that was funny. It's okay. But the point is, our attitude a lot of times will reflect the worship or lack of that's going on. Why do we wait until everything out here is going good before we get happy? Because everything in here is going good. Everything in here is what God put in you. A lot of us think that we have some spiritual problems that we don't have. I'm just going to tell you that off the bat. If you think that you're, got some spiritual issues, just don't get the subscription. You'll be fine. Any spiritual issues can be settled with the Word of God. That's the bottom line. But I want to stick on point here. Worship will create the atmosphere for miracles. Worship will create an atmosphere that create an atmosphere in your life that the Lord wants to dwell in. Don't put Him on a back burner. Don't put Him in an area that He's not. Somebody said this to me one time. It had to do with some things that ministers deal with sometimes. And by the grace of God, oh man, that's all I'm going to say. Just by the grace of God, I'll stay away from that. But he said, would you, somebody was addicted to some things they shouldn't have been. And, they would watch these things on TV and stuff like that. And a minister asked him one time, he goes, would you watch that if Jesus was in the room? Oh, no, 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 no. You do it every day. He's in the room. And we can take that religious and think, God's always with me, sort of. No, God's always with you anyway. He's not just with you, He's in you. And so, every single day, I gotta pace this a little bit. I feel like I'm going too fast. Every single day, you have a chance to worry or to worship. The way you start will make it easier. Either way. You can make it too easy to worry, or you can make it really easy to worship. And if you start out the right way, it's a lot easier to stay the right way. I'm not saying that the whole day is going to go perfect, but you ever noticed how Sometimes you'll start the day in worship and you'll be so into, oh, glory to God, I love you, Lord. And even the challenges that come in that day don't seem to bother you so much. Why? Anybody tell me? Just saying. If you want it to go right, start it right. If you want it to, say if, you know, you start it right and it, you know, by lunch is terrible and you feel the effects of it, sounds like to me you need to get some worship on. Because what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament? They got thrown in the fire. They go, well, even if I do burn up, I'm going to worship anyway. You got to have that attitude toward the enemy. Hey, you got no power over me, but if for some reason God chooses not to intervene, I'm going to worship anyway, just letting you know. Period, end of story. You got a problem with it, take it up with Him, because I know where I'm going. The worst you can do to me is kill me, but that really doesn't even kill me. It sends me to Him. I'm good. We're good. What you want to do? Bad boys, what you doing? Anyway. I'm not okay, just so y'all know. You have the ability to live 24/7 in the anointing. You can learn more about that. You know, you don't have to overthink that tonight or anything. Just the anointing is Him. It's not some external quality. It's who He is. The anointing literally means the Christ. He is the anointing. So if you want to learn more about the anointing, get with Him. Ask Jesus, Lord, teach me more about You. I want to know You. What would you do? I'm going to talk to a few of the single people in here, because I are one. What would you do if a person walked through that door and God said, that's your spouse? What's the first thought? You're probably going to be a little scared, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, you're going to go, man, I got to learn everything about them. I got to know what makes them tick. I got to know what they like and don't like, what kind of food. I got to know where they like to go for a vacation. I got to know whether they want kids. Why don't we do the same thing with the Lord? I got to know everything about them. You know what's funny is I've seen newborn believers be more hungry for God than people that walk with God a while. God calls us to have that hunger every single day. And sometimes you got to make yourself have that hunger. I ain't going to lie to you. There's some days I wake up and the last thing I want to do is get in the Word. I know that sounds funny, but I'm being real. Why? Because honestly, sometimes we can read the Word so often that we make it a book. And sometimes I approach it like it's a novel. It ain't a novel. It's a life-giving. Oh, come on now. The way you approach the Word, it determines what you're going to get from the Word. Amen. It determines. The Word is not the book. It's Jesus. The Word became flesh. So the way you approach Him is going to determine what you receive from Him. You want an example? The woman with the issue of blood. That says that doesn't say that her physical, the way that she came to Him was what healed her. It says her faith healed her. The only way you can come to Christ is by faith. Just going, Lord, I have no clue what I can offer You right now. But I just worship. Because I'm telling you, it's not about what you have to offer Him has nothing to do with just you. He's infatuated with you because of the blood of Jesus. Without that blood, you got nothing. I'm telling you, you got nothing. But He sees you in Him because the blood has been shed. He sees you in Him because that was His plan. Do you realize His plan for you since before you were ever even born was to love you? Was to see you fulfill what He called you to do? Does that make sense to anybody? We hear that a lot and we think we get it, but I'm telling you every day I go, man, Lord, I think I see a new aspect of You every day. And there's some days where I'm not focused on Him like I should be and I miss the whole, I just have to, Lord, forgive me. I have not sought You today like I should have. But I got to be careful not to get in condemnation about it. I say, Lord, yeah, I haven't sought You like I should have, but I know it doesn't matter. I worship You now. I thank You that You meet me where I'm at. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I feel like I did a little treaching tonight. Y'all know what that is? Teaching and preaching at the same time. I'm not sure what I did, but
We like it, whatever.
Glory to God. You know what I love the most about just ministering in general? I love to just watch the Lord love on people. I love to just watch the gospel, the spoken word of God, break chains off of people. Because there were chains on you when you walked in that are not there now. And they're not coming back in Jesus' name. They're not going to.